Good morning, everyone. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. We have been taught about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, especially about the parable of the kingdom. Today is the last sermon of this series, especially discuss about the value of the kingdom. Father, help us to understand your word today, your Holy Spirit. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought the field. Apparently, the man in this parable was a tenant farmer working in someone else's field. As he was ploughing, he unexpectedly discovered a treasure buried beneath the ground. Perhaps a previous owner had hidden it there during a time of war or some other crisis and was never able to return for it. Over the years, the treasure had been forgotten. So the farmer carefully buried it again and sold everything he owned and bought the field so that the treasure would legally become his. It is certainly a believable story. From time to time, people experience unexpected blessings or fortune discoveries. But Jesus was not telling a story about a lucky blessing. He used this story to reveal the value of the kingdom of heaven. At first glance, it seems obvious that Jesus is comparing the kingdom of heaven to a treasure because it is infinitely valuable. But notice that he does not simply call it a treasure. He calls it treasure hidden in a field. Furthermore, the treasure is not regained by the owner of the treasure, but accidentally found by an ordinary tenant farmer. Even after finding it, the man does not simply take the treasure for himself. Instead, he willingly sells everything he owns in order to purchase the field and possess the treasure legitimately. Why is the kingdom of heaven not displayed like a magnificent jewel for everyone to admire? Why is it hidden? And why must the man give up everything else in order to possess it? To be honest, when I first read this parable, what struck me was not the joy of discovering the treasure, but the cost of obtaining it. My attention was drawn to the fact that he sold all he had. It sounded like a sacrifice. It sounded demanding. It made me think that following Christ meant giving up everything I valued. Perhaps many of us have felt the same way. When we first came to faith in Christ, we were overwhelmed by God's grace, his sacrificial love, and the free gift of salvation. But as we continue growing in our faith and learning God's will, we often find ourselves living less in the joy of his grace and more under the weight of a religious obligation. Instead of delighting in Christ, we become burdened by what we think we must do for him. Even when we hear Jesus' word, "Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well," many of us hear the commands far more loudly than the promise. We focus on seek first the kingdom, while almost overlooking all these things will be given to you. Why is that? Why? Because the kingdom is like a hidden treasure. The kingdom is not hidden because it lacks value. It is hidden because our hearts are easily occupied by other treasures. The problem is not the kingdom shines too dimly, but that our eyes have become captivated by lesser things. The things we treasure our careers, our comfort, our possessions, our ambitions, even many good gifts from God, can easily fill our hearts to the point that we no longer recognize the surpassing worth of His kingdom. These lesser treasures blind us to the greatest treasure of all. That's why we struggle to understand the joy of the man who gladly sold everything. We have not yet fully seen what he saw, and this blindness is tragically foolish. Imagine that the farmer discovered the treasure but became afraid of selling everything he owned. So instead, he buried the treasure again, went back to plowing the field, and spent the rest of his life trying to protect and gradually increase his modest possessions. How foolish would that be? Owning the treasure would have given him wealth beyond anything he could ever earn as a tenant farmer. It would have completely transformed his life. He would no longer have a need to labor endlessly just to survive. Yet suppose he chose instead to cling to the little he already had, refusing to exchange it for something infinitely greater. Could there be anything more foolish? This is exactly what we do when we become so attached to lesser treasure that we fail to recognize the greatest treasure God offers us. C.S. Lewis described this condition beautifully in The Weight of Glory. We are half-hearted creatures, fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us, like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea. Lewis' point is that we are like children who simply do not know how to recognize what is truly valuable. Because we lack this spiritual discernment, we cling to what is immediate, visible, and familiar. Even when something infinitely better is freely offered us. This is why people can accumulate wealth, success, comfort, and countless possessions, yet still remain deeply unsatisfied. They have mistaken lesser treasures for the greatest treasure, and that whenever they love lesser things more than what is ultimate, the result is never lasting joy. It is only a deeper hunger for something more. Isn't that the world we live in today? A world filled not with the people who have found true joy, but with the people who are endlessly searching for the next thing they hope will finally satisfy them. Dear brothers and sisters, what is the Christian life really about? What kind of life has Christ called us to live? Notice carefully what Jesus says. The man did not reluctantly sell everything. He did not walk away grieving. He sold everything in his joy. In his joy. The treasure changed the way he valued everything else. His possessions did not suddenly become worthless. Rather, compared to the treasure, everything else lost its place as his greatest treasure. The Christian life is never meant to be lived between two unhealthy extremes. So, one extreme is to treat salvation as nothing more than a ticket to heaven, something safely stored away in a drawer while we continue pursuing fulfillment in the same place as everyone else. We know we are saved, but our daily lives are still driven by the world's definition of success, security, and happiness. The other extremes is to reduce Christianity to a life of endless sacrifice and a religious obligation. We believe we must constantly give things up for God, yet our obedience is made more by burden than by delight. Eventually, many believers begin looking elsewhere for the joy they cannot seem to find in their walk with Christ. Neither picture reflects the kingdom Jesus describes. The man in the parable did not merely discover the treasure and the cover-up, nor did he merely sell everything only. He gained the treasure, and from that moment, his life was filled with joy. That is the Christian life. We have not simply received a future guarantee of heaven. We have entered the kingdom of God even now. We live under the gracious reign of our King. His presence, His peace, His righteousness, and His joy are no longer future promises alone. They are present reality to be experienced today. The Christian life is not fundamentally about losing things for Christ. It is about gaining Christ Himself. When the kingdom becomes our greatest treasure, obedience is no longer driven merely by duty, but by delight. Worship is no longer a religious obligation, but the joyful response of hearts that have found what they were created to seek. The greatest question then is not, what must we give up for God? The greater question is, have we truly seen the treasure? Are you seeing the treasure? Do you truly have joy? The kingdom is like a treasure hidden in a field. It is hidden not because it lacks glory, but because our eyes have become captive by the lesser treasure of this world. Yet, we must not misunderstand. The kingdom value is not measured by the comparing it to the things we give up. Yes, it was infinitely more valuable than anything this world offers. But it is not merely better than the treasures of this world. The kingdom of heaven belongs in a category of its own. Its value is not comparative, it's final. It is the kind of treasure that satisfies the human hearts so deeply that it brings a definitive end to all our endless searching. This is treasure that satisfies the human hearts so deeply that it brings a definitive end to all our endless searching. This is what Jesus says in the next verse. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. At first glance, this parable sounds almost identical to the previous one. In both stories, someone gives up everything in order to gain something infinitely more valuable. But there is one important difference. In the first parable, the man is simply walking in a field. He is not looking for the treasure. He discovers it unexpectedly. But in the second parable, the merchant is searching. That's different. That difference is significant. Jesus is revealing another truth about the human heart. The first parable explains why the kingdom is hidden from so many people. But the second explains why, despite that blindness, human beings never stop searching. Think about our lives. Why do we pursue one goal after another? Why do we believe that the next achievement, the next relationship, the next promotion, the next possession, or the next experience will finally satisfy us? Because deep within us is a longing that never goes away. Never goes away. We are all searching for something. Some people search for success, Others search for love, security, relationship, recognition, significance, or happiness. The object of our search may differ, but the search itself is universal. Like the merchant seeking fine pearls, everyone is relentlessly searching for something of value. Why? Augustine understood this better than almost anyone. He prayed, "We have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you." Our hearts are restless until they rest in you. Our restlessness is not the problem. It is the evidence that we are created for something greater than this world can offer. Tragedy is what we often mistake the lesser pearls for the pearl, the great price. We spend our lives collecting one pearl after another, hoping that the next one will finally satisfy us. Yet, every pearl eventually disappoints us, not because it is worthless, but because it was never meant to bear the weight of our deepest longing. That's why success never feels successful enough, why wealth is never enough, why pleasure fades, why every accomplishment leaves us asking what's next. Our hearts continue searching because they have not yet found what they were created to seek. But notice what happens to the merchant. Jesus does not say that he found a better pearl. He found one pearl of a great value. And when he found it, his searching finally stopped, ended. He did not continue comparing pearls. He did not keep looking for a better one. He had found the one for which every other pearl had only been a shadow. Dear brothers and sisters, this is the kingdom of God. The Son of God, Jesus Christ, the Most High, came down to this earth, the lowest place. He came and proclaimed, "The kingdom of heaven is near." He healed the sick, cast out demons, encouraged the weak, and gave strength to the weary. He deliberately moved toward the lowest places, the places of weakness, suffering, and deep despair. He endured persecution and rejection, and in the end, he went all the way to the deepest darkness, the place of death itself. This was not an accident. It was not a coincidence. He had to go there. God himself chose to deny himself. He willingly stepped into the place where his own existence seemed to be denied. Why did he do this? Because of our sins, because of the hopelessness, life, and eternal despair, the death that our sin brought us upon us. To save us from that absolute despair, Jesus came to our most desperate place and tasted that despair in our place. Brothers and sisters, can you understand the heart of God? Can you comprehend this kind of love? We were like the prodigal sons and daughters who rejected our loving Father, the one who created us, and wandered away from him. We became orphans, abandoned and forsaken by the very one who loved us most. But the love of God could not leave us there in our despair. So he sacrificed himself. He paid the full price of our sins and rescued us from the hopeless place. Now we are no longer slaves to despair. We are no longer prisoners of death. We are no longer rejected orphans. We are fully accepted, deeply loved, children of God. There's no rejection. There's no more fear, because perfect love now dwells within us. And one day, our God of peace and joy will wipe away every tear from our eyes. He will deliver us from all sorrows, despair, and death. He will live forever. In the embrace of our Father. He will finally end our tears and sorrow and sadness. That eternal embrace of God, that is the kingdom of God. Do you know the value of the kingdom? In this respect, the kingdom of heaven is not simply more valuable than all other treasures. It is the treasure that brings every lesser pursuit to its final end. Finally, if the kingdom of heaven is the treasure that fulfills every longing of the human heart, what does it mean to reject it? It would not mean losing one thing. It would not mean losing one thing among many. It would not mean losing even the best thing among many. It would mean absolute and total loss, the despair of losing everything that truly matters. In this sense, the kingdom of heaven possesses absolute value. To miss it is to lose all hope forever. This is what Jesus teaches in the final parable. Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets, but threw the bad away. Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like a fishing net cast into a lake. A fish cannot remain in the lake forever. Eventually, the net gathers them all and bring them to the shore, where they are separated. Many people believe they are completely free, that they alone determine the course of their lives. They imagine this world is a neutral place where everyone can simply live as they choose, like a fish swimming wherever they please in a lake. But when the net of God's kingdom is cast into this world through Jesus Christ, everything changes. The world is no longer a neutral zone. No one can remain untouched by his kingdom. Every person must respond. We will either enter his kingdom and live forever in the joy of our Father's response, or reject him and remain separated from the only source of life, hope, and joy. Imagine there's no heaven. It is if you try. No hell below us. Above us, only sky. Imagine all the people living for today. Look at this. Imagine there's no heaven. It is easy for you if you try. No hell below us, above us, only sky. Imagine all the people living for today. But as John Lennon himself admitted, the words to imagine are just that, an imagination. It is nothing more than a human illusion. Through the cross of Jesus Christ, God has powerfully proven otherwise. His death revealed the Father's love for humanity, We can no longer deny this love. Now we stand at the crossroad. Will we live in the fullness of God's love and the eternal joy in this heaven? Or will we live without it in absolute despair and suffering in hell? We can no longer live as if nothing matters simply for today. My friends, the kingdom of heaven has come. The kingdom filled with the Father's everlasting love now stands before us. Whether we like it or not, we must respond to this love. And your response will determine your eternal destiny, the difference between heaven and hell. Because the kingdom of heaven is of infinite worth. It alone can satisfy every longing of a human heart. To reject it is not simply to lose something valuable. It is to lose everything. So I ask today, which path will you choose? Eternal joy in the kingdom of heaven or eternal despair and suffering in hell? Finally, to my beloved brothers and sisters who have already received this hidden but most precious treasure, can we live as though nothing has happened while so many around us continue to live only for today? In the final verse of this passage, Jesus calls us, every teacher of the law who has become a disciple in the kingdom of heaven. In those days, the teachers of the law devoted themselves to studying, preserving, and teaching of the Old Testament. Because they only knew the Old Testament, many of them did not recognize that kingdom had come through Jesus Christ. But we are different. We have been given the whole story through both the Old and the New Testament. We know that God's kingdom has come in Christ. And what is important is that the Lord calls us not only to enter the kingdom, but he sends us out as teachers of his kingdom. Every child of God is called to be a faithful teacher of the kingdom, proclaiming its truth and pointing others to its king. Dear brothers and sisters, there are people all around us who are searching for meaning, chasing temporary pleasure, and living without the hope that only Christ can give. Many do not even realize that eternity is before them. How can we remain silent when we know the way to life? How can we keep this treasure to ourselves when so many are still living without it? We need to know God's heart for the lost. God is calling us to this very purpose. How are we responding to his call? How are you responding to this call? May our lives become living testimonies to the beauty of God's kingdom, and may God be pleased to use us so that many who are now far from him will one day stand beside us in his eternal kingdom, rejoicing forever in the presence of our Savior. Amen.